Thank you. Thank you for shouting the name of the Lord this morning here. Please be seated, yeah. You may want to sit down depending how long the next bit goes on for. So, it's great to be here. My name's Tim, one of the team here. Thanks to Tom for leading us today, and welcome to you online and to those of you in the car park as well. Joining Tom's welcome to you. This bank holiday weekend, and the sun, was shining, and it's not going to rain, is it? No, good. I'm glad to know from all the weather forecasters out here that it's not going to rain, which is fantastic. So I hope you're having a good day and you're having a good weekend as well. Well, we're coming to the end of our summer series, which we called A Summer of Love. And I hope that you found some love during this particular summer. I hope whether that's been at home or whether it's through the presence of God's love or whether through his creation, that you've discovered a fresh and new love of God during this summer season. It's been an odd time, and this has been a summer, I was going to say like no other, but probably the same as last summer, really, wasn't it? But, we've learned to enjoy so much of what we have ignored, perhaps, for too long, and that is the beauty of what God has given to us, the beauty of his creation, the beauty of one another in relationship as well. And perhaps we've learned to appreciate some of those things that we did take for granted some 18 months ago. And I hope we'll continue to enjoy God's love. This isn't the last Sunday of God's love, by the way. This is just the last Sunday of our series about God's love, but I hope that you'll feel and know God's love every single day. But we're going to finish on what is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible, and that is John 3:16. So many of you could recite it. If you don't know it, then this is a verse for you today, because if you haven't encountered this verse yet, then perhaps today is your day to encounter the love of God for you as a reality, as a living experience in your life as well. But let me ask you first, have you ever got stuck? Have you ever had a moment when you've got stuck in your life, whether physically stuck, whether stuck in a relationship, whether stuck in a job, or maybe even stuck up a tree, maybe? Anybody ever been stuck up a tree? Or are you all such great climbers of trees that you always end up either climbing down or falling down? I'm not sure. I don't know if you heard on the BBC News this week, but apparently a very concerned dad phoned the West Midlands police this week to say that his daughter was stuck in her coat and he needed help to get her out. Well, if you're stuck in your coat today, why are you wearing a coat? Because it's a lovely day and you don't need a coat on today. But I've been stuck in a tree. You know, when I was a kid, the house we lived on where I grew up when I was young, we had an orchard attached to it. We weren't a very posh family, but for some reason, and I don't know why, we had this orchard, this very big orchard attached to us. And of course, the reason it's called an orchard is because it has lots of trees in it. Exactly. It wouldn't be an orchard otherwise, would it? It'd be something else. But it had lots of trees. And of course, when you're young and a boy, you want to go climbing trees. So I would take my fair share of opportunities to go into the orchard and climb trees. But there was one particular day when I did get stuck up this tree. Obviously, I'd got far too much confidence by then, even though I was quite young. And I thought I could conquer every single tree was there. But I was stuck and I didn't have a clue how to get down, which, if you've ever been stuck up a tree, it is a very traumatic experience, because you wonder if anybody will ever know, whether anybody will ever find you, and whether actually you're going to spend the rest of your life stuck up a tree or not. And it got me thinking about that, about how did my dad react to me being stuck up a tree? Well, I thought there were a few responses that he could have offered to me. One of them is he could have shouted at me from a very long distance and told me how stupid I was and it was my own fault and I had to do something about it myself. I guess the other thing he could have done was just from a distance shout at me some instructions to tell me how to get down the tree. Or he could have, I guess, given me a sheet of instructions that would have been quite helpful. He could have given them to me and I could have read them through and found out exactly how to get down this particular tree. Now, you might have thought my dad was cruel by any of those methods. Well, thankfully, my dad wasn't. And the one thing my dad did do that day was he climbed the tree and he helped me down the tree as well, which I think is probably the best response that we could have ever had to someone who's got stuck. I think John 3:16 is the answer to us being stuck. It's the answer to us being stuck in our lives. It's the answer to us being stuck in a relationship that we know is damaging to us. It's the answer to us who are stuck in terms of how do we deal with the things that are going wrong in our lives, that John 3:16 actually helps us get down the tree. Not by shouting instructions to us from a distance, not by telling us off for getting stuck in the first place, not by just giving us a list of instructions for how we might get down, but actually telling us that there was a day when God so loved the world that he sent someone to climb up the tree to help us down from that feeling of being stuck. He so loved the world that he sent his one and only son so that whoever believes in him should not get stuck, should not perish, but have eternal life, should be set free. Now, if you know the context of this particular verse, just being there in John 3:16, you'll know that what precedes this is a conversation that Jesus has in the middle of the night with a religious expert, a man who is called Nicodemus. A very religious man, an upright man, a man who knew everything about the law, knew everything about what he should do in order to get unstuck in his life. But I think that particular night, Nicodemus realized that he was still stuck up a tree. That despite the fact what he knew, despite the fact that he kept the commandments that God had given to them, despite the fact that he felt that he lived a good life, he still thought, you know what, there's something more to this than I've realized yet. I'm still in a position in my life where nothing really feels that it's working, where I still don't feel that I'm reaching God's love and the fullness that God has for me. Despite all that he'd done that night, at great risk to himself and his reputation and his future and his position and his status in that community, he decided to seek out Jesus that night. Because he realized from what he'd already seen and heard from Jesus that there was something more he needed to discover. There was something more about who God was and who Jesus was as well. You know, Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 3, makes a statement. It's not an answer to Nicodemus's question. It's a statement where Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." You're for all the things that you're doing, Nicodemus, for all the good things that are going on, for all the goodness that is in you, you cannot see the kingdom. You can't encounter the fullness of God's love in your life unless something happens inside you, unless something goes on that is as a result of what God is giving to you, that he's given you his only son. Now, no matter that Nicodemus thought Jesus was a very good person, no matter that he understood that the signs and wonders that Jesus were performing were amazing, and obviously this was a man from God, no wonder all that, he still was stuck in his place, in his position. He hadn't understood the full implications of why Jesus had come. It wasn't enough just knowing something about Jesus. It wasn't enough just to be in awe and wonder at what Jesus was doing. There was something more for him to see the full extent of the kingdom, to enter the kingdom that Nicodemus seemed to long for in his life. And Jesus says, John 3:15, "For just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness," referring to an Old Testament story of healing for the people, "just as Moses lifted up the snake, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes, everyone who puts their trust in him, everyone who acts upon that belief, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." So how's that possible? How is it possible for us to know this love of God in our lives, to understand the full extent of that love? Well, it's only possible because of God's initiative. For God so loved the world. It's only possible because of what he did for us that it becomes possible for us to get unstuck. You know, that John 3:16 is like the joining statement, if you like. From all that's happened before in this conversation in John 3:1 to 15, here's the clue. Here's the answer. Here's the reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Even you, Nicodemus, even you with all your goodness, with all your rule keeping, even you, for God so loved the world. I wonder how much so loved is. How much is so loved? I mean, what do you so love? If you were to build a list of your top 10 loves, what would you so love that you couldn't do without it? I have to say, it's Ben and Jerry's ice cream for me, but other ice creams are available, of course, but only on them when they're on special offer. What do you so love that you can't miss it? You'd give everything for it. You can't be without it. In the beginning, God so loved the world. And what did God do in the beginning in Genesis? What did God give us in Genesis? He gave us his breath. You remember the story in Genesis where he pulled the dust together and he breathed on it. God so loved the world that he gave his very essence to this pile of dust, to us, and we became a living being. God longs to give us because he so loves us. You know, I think the challenge for our world is that most of us are looking to be liked when really we're longing to be loved, really. You know, in our social media age, and I know many of us are probably not on social media, but if you know anything of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, you want to be liked. You know, you want someone to click that thumbs up button when you post a picture of your cute cat or what you had for dinner that day and it was so nice. And you want to be liked. And when you make a comment or you share your opinion, you just want a few more likes and you go back onto it to see how many people like it. But you know what? That's just such a temporary thing. For those of us pre-social media, it's maybe how many birthday cards you get. Have you often counted how many birthday cards you get and you thought, oh, if only I could have got one more. That would have made me feel much better. Because all of us are looking for one more, aren't we? One more like, one more birthday card, one more feeling of appreciation, one more person who values us. We're looking for one more. Because we have sold out to being liked when we're longing to be loved. And I think that's the human condition. We're longing to be loved. I mean, we can push it away as much as we like. We can make excuses for it as much as we like. But you know what? Deep down in the human soul, we need to be loved. And here's a God who so loved us that he gave us Jesus. How does that make you feel today? To know that you're loved with this everlasting love of God. And Jesus explained to Nicodemus that this is the life that I want you to have. This is the breath of the Spirit that you don't know anything about, but it will come to you to be born again, to be reignited in your experience of God's presence and his power so that you can do what he wants you to do, live for his purposes. And Jesus proved it, that he loved fishermen and he loved soldiers and he loved tax collectors and he loved traitors and he loved convicts and he loved cleaners and he loves doctors and he loves the unemployed and he loves those who are CEOs and he loves those who are in debt and he loves those who have too much and he loves those who are sick and those who are healthy. He loves the titled and the nameless because God loves us so much. So loved the world that he gave us Jesus. Unearned love, undeserved love, unconditional love. This love of God that pours out into our hearts through the presence of his Spirit. And this is what God's so good at. He just can't stop giving. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He gave all that he had, the very best that he had. He gave himself to us so that we might know this love in reality. Jesus, the Word, made flesh. I'm guessing during COVID you might have played a few board games, have you? They're called board games for a reason, by the way. They make us very bored, those who don't like games. But maybe one of your COVID contests has been Scrabble, has it? Are you good at Scrabble? Anybody good at Scrabble? Anybody hate the person who says they're good at Scrabble and you have to play against them? Do you know how Scrabble goes? Yeah, so you get 7 letters and you put them on your board and you've got to make up some words to put them on the board. And you get points. Every letter has a point. And if you're like me, you get thrilled by finding a three-letter word out of the seven. Are you someone like me likes to get three-letter words. Yeah, at least you found a word. And maybe a four-letter word every now and again, and that really does make your day. But what if you found a seven-letter word among your seven tiles? Have you ever found a seven-letter word? Oh, some of you, yeah, well done. Don't play against them ever, will you? But they're all messed up, and suddenly, out of the blue almost, you see this word appearing. It's like, wow, it's there. And you've been looking for 5 minutes at your tiles, and the opponents are getting so bored, they've gone to make a cup of tea. In fact, some of them have probably gone to bed waiting for you to find your word. And then suddenly, it's there. It's like there's an ignition of power that suddenly comes upon you. And out of these messed up letters comes this word revealed to you. And I think that God has been looking at this world and this jumbled up mess that we're in. And we can't make sense of it. We're looking at this world that we live in, and it's just like a jumble of letters, and we can't quite make sense of any one of them at the moment. We can't even find a three-letter word to make sense of it. And things happen to us, and it's like our whole world gets turned around, and we can't make sense of it. And right into the people who are stuck up a tree and can't find their way down, right into the middle of the people's lives who have question after question like Nicodemus and can't quite see the answer to it, suddenly the word becomes real. The word made flesh, Jesus, the one and only Son of the Father, steps into our world and suddenly makes sense of the mess that we find ourselves in. It's like he rescues us from this like perpetual dyslexia that we suffer from so often. When we're struggling in our lives, when we're struggling with finding answers, and suddenly, with the ignition of God's Spirit in us, our eyes are open to see what God has done for us, and it makes sense finally. He's the Word spoken to us. And into the noise of a Roman Empire, this baby comes. Into the turmoil of our world today, Jesus still comes. Because God loved the world so much, and still loves the world so much, that he gave his one and only Son. Jesus says, if you're weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Do you see how God is still the giver? I'll make sense of this. It might not be clear to you just yet, but I will give you rest. Jesus says to those of you who are thirsty, you're thirsty for life in all its fullness. You're thirsty for this sense of his presence and power. If you're thirsty, come to me, he says, and I will give you this thirst-quenching water that will restore and refresh your soul. See, this is a God who gives. He says to you, if you're hungry for meaning and purpose in your life, if you are looking for something and you don't quite know what it was, he says, come to me and I will give you bread that will last. This is God's big story, that he so loves the world that he still gives us what we need to make sense of the world. And I wonder if for you today, you need someone or something to happen to make sense of this world. Maybe you're feeling that you need to be loved. Well, God loved the world so much that he gave you his only Son, so that if you believe on him, you will not perish, but you'll have eternal life. The greatest gift of all, not just some distant hope for heaven, but now, this moment, life that's ignited, life that comes in its fullness, because he's the one who gives his love to us. The cross declares it, the empty tomb explains it, eternal life in all its fullness for those who will believe. This is the love of God, found in Jesus, fulfilled through the cross, as Jesus climbed up to the cross so that we could be set free and find life in all its fullness. God loves you,
so much. He gave his one and only son. And he asks you today, what is your response to the love that I've given you? Will you trust him enough to walk with him and to be filled again with his love today? Let's pray together. If you're someone who's feeling stuck today, we don't have a God who's just going to shout instructions at you. We don't have a God who's going to condemn you and tell you it's your own fault. We're not going to have a God who's just going to give us a list of six things to do in order to get unstuck. We have a God who's going to climb up that tree and help you down, who's going to set you free from whatever it is that is causing you to get stuck today. Because his love is his gift to you right now. He has a different future for any one of us who's in turmoil today. He has a different future for any one of us who are feeling the sadness of what life has thrown at us. He has a different future for anyone who is frustrated with life or feels restricted by it. He has a different future because he's given you his love in Jesus to set you free for life now and into eternity. Why not reach out for his help today? Why not call on his name? You just have to whisper it, the name of Jesus. And as you whisper his name, he will come and he will fill you with his love today. And you'll know his presence and his power. And he'll give you hope for the future. Father, for all those who have called on your name right now, the name of Jesus, I pray that they will be filled with your spirit, filled with love. The love that you have, we've seen it in Jesus. We see it through the cross. And that you would again just fill us up with the love you have. Thank you that you so loved the world, that you gave us your one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Continue to walk with us, I pray. And may the love that we feel right now in our lives, may it flood out through us so that others might know that love as well. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.